I just click it?
Good afternoon and welcome to The Source News, a show broadcasted by Griffith University Communication and Journalism students. Today we'll be taking a look at the rise of social media and how businesses, influencers and social movements are benefiting from these platforms in today's digital world. There are also a multitude of negative effects that can arise from social media use, so stay tuned to listen to a psychologist's opinions on social media. But first, here's Mary-Kate Hannigan with today's headlines.
You're listening to The Source News.
Breaking news. Queensland records 6 new COVID cases today, with restrictions tightening in 6 LGAs. From 4 p.m. today, the local government areas of Brisbane, Gold Coast, Moreton Bay, Logan, Townsville and Palm Island will be subject to increased restrictions. Public and private gatherings are limited to 30 people, while cafes and restaurants will return to one person per 4 metres squared. Capacity at stadiums and events will decrease to 75%, including this Sunday's NRL Grand Final. Meanwhile, 4 people, including a young child, have been killed in a horror car crash on the Ipswich motorway last night. The head-on collision occurred at around 11 p.m. after a vehicle was travelling east in the westbound lanes. Both vehicles were engulfed in flames by the time emergency services arrived on the scene. All 4 individuals were pronounced dead on the scene. In national news, Victoria records its highest ever daily COVID total recording, 1,438 cases and 5 deaths. Victorian authorities have blamed the rule breakers from the weekend as the main reason for the spike in cases. The state's COVID-19 response commander says a third of the new cases were involved with an AFL Grand Final celebration. The total number of deaths in Victoria have risen to 41 from this outbreak. Also in today's news, the importation of nicotine e-cigarettes is set to be banned due to a significant increase in vaping in young people. The sale of nicotine vapes is already illegal without a prescription in Australia. However, the importation of nicotine vapes from overseas hasn't been criminalised until now. The Australian Border Forces will now be able to intercept packages of nicotine vapes, nicotine pods or liquid nicotine. The Therapeutic Goods Association says the ban is to stop further people from taking up nicotine vaping. Over to Marley Moore for international news.
Overseas, Japan's former foreign minister, Fumio Kishida, is set to become prime minister after winning a dramatic runoff in the ruling Liberal Democratic Party vote. The victory from last night's leadership race will mean Mr. Kishida will be Japan's 3rd prime minister this year. Mr. Kishida vows to lead a transformed party in a general election within the 7th of November and the 14th of November. He also promises to lead Japan through the COVID-19 battle that has impacted the country's economy. Meanwhile, for the first time since 2008, Britney Spears will be without her father's oversight, according to a Los Angeles judge who has ruled. Father Jamie Spears has controlled Spears' life and business affairs for 13 years. Mr. Spears will be replaced with accountant John Zabel on a temporary basis. Back to Chanel for sport and weather.
To sport, the NRL Grand Final is still set to go ahead in Brisbane, despite recent COVID cases, but attendance will be reduced to 75% capacity due to Queensland's new restrictions. Anastasia Palaszczuk has acknowledged the reduced capacity will be disappointing for fans who purchased tickets to the sold-out event. The NRL will refund the final 25% of fans who purchase tickets, and this is the fairest way to determine the allocation. Ticket holders affected by the reduction in capacity will be contacted directly on Thursday. The weather today is partly cloudy across the Gold Coast. It is mostly cloudy in Brisbane with a high chance of showers. Gold Coast, Ipswich and the Sunshine Coast are 24 degrees and Brisbane is 25. The The world of social media has taken over our daily lives in many ways. It may create job opportunities, help you connect with old friends, or it may be a way for you to stay up to date with the news around the globe. This week we explore how different people utilise social media in their own way. We begin by exploring the realm of influencers. Marley Moore has the story.
Social media influencer Kaylee Guilfoyle says Instagram has given her the opportunity to travel, meet like-minded friends, and to make a living. The influencer has over 100,000 followers on Instagram, allowing her to collaborate with well-known fashion brands, including Opoly and Fashion Nova. Guilfoyle says social media has given her a job that suits her lifestyle, rather than the typical 9-to-5.
Social media has given me so many amazing opportunities that I wouldn't have had without it. I work with some of the biggest brands, not only in fashion, but in the world. It really has given me so many opportunities to travel and see the world in a way I personally know I never could have. I, like, struggled in school, and a 9-to-5 job just isn't for someone like me. Like, I have ADHD and I struggle with so many other things, but being an influencer has literally saved my life.
Maddie Reinhardt, another Instagram influencer, is using social media to boost her modelling career. The influencer has over 25,000 followers on Instagram, where she shares her interests, fashion inspiration, and daily lifestyle. Reinhardt says social media has opened the door for opportunities that she may not have had without it.
It's opened up so many opportunities, especially with networking. I've met so many people from different companies and so many just connections. Like, I have a few jobs lined up, not just for social media, but for my future career, from these social events, and you just meet so many new people and so many other creatives. So I think just getting the jobs and networking has been the biggest benefit for me. Modeling industry is no longer just with agencies. It's very important to have a following on social media, because if your client is looking between model A and model B, if model A has more of a social media following than model B, they're getting more bang for their buck.
This is Marley Moore, keeping you updated on the go.
Thanks, Marley.
Social media can also be used for positive social change and activism. Here's Irina Budimovic with the stories.
Users have been given the opportunity to reach an audience which would not be possible without social media. The Source News spoke to Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital Foundation Director of Communications and Engagement, Emily Anderson, which has been a part of the hashtag MoveForLex movement.
Move for Lex is basically a movement for Alexa Leary. Alexa had a really terrible bike accident on the Sunshine Coast. Lex is an amazing triathlete, and really she's a world-class triathlete. And she was training, and her father was following the training group in his car. And unfortunately, she came up her bike, and he found her in the gutter. And, yes, she has unfortunately suffered a significant brain injury and is undergoing treatment at the RBWH, the Royal Brisbane Women's Hospital. And she is, I think, she's one of the longest. She's been in the neurology ward now for a long time. I think they're saying she's almost been in the neurology ward for the longest time of any patient. So it was a substantial injury. Her family established the Move for Lex page on Instagram, and it now has over 100,000 followers. So it really has been an organic movement.
Starting the Instagram page to spread the message, Alexa's family was not expecting the movement to receive this much attention. The @MoveForLex Instagram page has been gaining 1,000 followers a day the past few weeks. Anderson said social media has been beneficial in gaining a large audience in Australia and internationally.
I think everyone's been surprised by the response and, you know, the amount of celebrities, the media, and they've had, you know, obviously international celebrities. So Jimmy Barnes, an Australian celebrity, he's supported MoveForLex. You know, we've had and there are basketballers, different influencers and celebrities who are also, you know, willing Lex on and encouraging her. So that's been really assisting in terms of spreading the message.
We are sending Alexa our love, and we encourage all our listeners to check out @MoveForLex on Instagram or visit MoveForLex.com to donate money. You have just listened to your host, Zarina Budimovic, and now over to Chanel. Whether you want to engage in hashtag MoveForLex, organize protests, or start an open discussion, social media is the place to be. Social media plays an important role in providing a safe space to share topics that are considered taboo, like identifying as gender fluid. The Source News spoke to entrepreneur Michael Downs, who transforms into Mallory on Instagram.
Is basically me expressing myself as my sort of feminine side, which I call Mal, and it's there to not only promote sort of like healthy expressions of sort of gender difference, but also to really promote and sort of help build confidence in especially the trans culture of people who are going through transition, like my sister, who feel very nervous and anxious going out in the world that of expressing themselves. They're not familiar with sort of fashion or makeup or any of these things that we sort of take for granted.
Michael says he has people all over the world reach out to him, confiding in him with their personal stories and experiences.
I've had a lot of people actually come out and say that they, after seeing my account and everything, they were able to build up the confidence, go tell their partner or tell their friends or tell their family, because the way that I've sort of articulated my life, they've used a lot of the similar language to sort of help explain it to others.
Thanks, Serena. Businesses are also using social media to their advantage and are profiting from social media marketing. Chanel Macbeth has the story.
Modern consumers are now spending more time on the internet than ever before, and this has impacted marketing in an unprecedented way. Many businesses are now engaging in social media marketing as an interactive way to promote their products and increase brand awareness. Gold Coast agency Top Tier Marketing is taking full advantage of the rise in social media marketing by utilising social advertising to generate further revenue for their clients. Top Tier owner Cormac Gray has predicated his business around digital platforms and says he owes the entire success of the company to social media.
We're currently across Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest, TikTok, and we utilise all of these platforms to not only promote our own business, but for our clients' businesses as well. You find now more than often that people aren't typically Googling businesses. They are now going onto their Instagram profile to validate their credibility by how many followers they have, what's their engagement like, what's their audience. Social media gives a different insight to a business that a website can't.
With the future of marketing becoming increasingly centered around social media platforms, the traditional marketing methods are no longer the most effective ways to reach target audiences. Griffith University lecturer and marketing professional Angela Bowles says it is up to businesses to adapt to the changing demands.
I think it's essential for businesses today in our global economy to focus on social media marketing, because we can shop online at the tap of a finger. We also need to promote ourselves through new channels rather than just focusing on traditional modes like we have in the past. Businesses need to look to the future, and they need to keep on the cutting edge of best practice around social media marketing and also just digital technologies.
Since COVID-19, there has been a major spike in social media use, and more people are shopping online. The statewide lockdowns have assisted in the recent e-commerce boom, as consumers have been limited to shopping from home.
So the world is looking very different to pre-COVID, and e-commerce has seen a dramatic rise, particularly with the support of social media marketing, because people have been increasingly on their devices and shopping from home.
It is not only young people who are engaging with social media, as COVID has encouraged people of all ages to learn how to utilise their devices to shop online.
Literally the last like 18 months all throughout COVID forced those typical businesses to, break their status quo, their own status quo, and move on to online. It's because, and I think it's in a good way, you know, you're now seeing 60 plus year olds start to be forced to learn how to use these platforms, you know, how they can order their click and collect on Woolworths, how they can buy their clothes from online.
In the past 18 months, the time and money spent online has significantly increased, and businesses who have made the decision to employ social media marketing tactics are now reaping the benefits.
Like I said, with that boom in the requirement for, digital advertising for a lot of e-commerce brands, we were kind of situated in the best position possible, so we were definitely quite fortunate.
The effects of the pandemic have certainly highlighted how valuable social media marketing is for businesses. This is Chanel Macbeth, keeping you in the loop.
Thanks, Chanel.
Media outlets can now be held responsible for defamatory comments readers post on their social media pages, according to a rule made by the Australian High Court. Under these new rules, anyone with a social media page will be considered the publisher of any comments made by a third party on their page, and can be held responsible even if they have no knowledge or notice of these comments. Associate Professor at Melbourne Law School, Jason Boslin, spoke with The Wire's Michelle Stevenson about the implications of this ruling for media publishers.
Yeah, well, it is problematic. So the question will be, in terms of whether or not they're publishers of those third-party comments, will be whether or not they facilitated and encouraged by their original post that third parties would come along and post comment. And so that will be sort of the first question. So how far does this ruling extend in terms of liability as a publisher? When it comes to mainstream media organisations, there's a particular issue because now they're faced with the prospect of having to either shut down comments altogether and not allow their readers, including members of the public, to post comments. And this can be particularly problematic because it will stifle freedom of speech. You often have media companies and posting important news stories, investigative journalism pieces, for example, and members of the public then come along and debate the issues. And that is, in and of itself, a form of sort of a public sphere, if you like. So by limiting the extent to which members of the public can do that, you are really stifling freedom of speech. Another way that the media organisations could deal with it is by reviewing comments before they make them public. The problem with that is that that required a lot of resources, and so it would mean that the media companies would then have to sit there and trawl through all the comments to see whether or not they think they're defamatory. And I just don't think that media companies are going to have the resources to do that, particularly in the current media environment where money is tight. So that is a problem. So they're the two main options. I suppose the other option is that they just be very selective about what they think in terms of the news story that they've posted, whether or not any comments that are made by members of the public are likely to be defamatory. So it might be a risk assessment that's involved there. But in any case, it is problematic.
What are the implications for individual social media users? Does this ruling put them in danger of legal repercussions?
Potentially. I mean, it's not limited to mainstream media organisations. So if you're the owner of a Facebook page like I am and like most people are, then that certainly does create problems. What the court has said is that if you have posted something which facilitates and encourages other people to comment, then you will be liable as a publisher of those comments even prior to notice. So it could certainly extend to those who, for example, post on Twitter or post on Facebook in their private capacity, and they could find themselves as publishers of defamatory comments as well. So it has really wide-ranging consequences, not just for mainstream media, but for others as well, including individuals, but including community organisations and anyone really who relies upon social media. And I think the important point to note is that social media is so significant when it comes to things like collective action, bringing people together, disseminating, you know, important issues for discussion. And a lot of that will be stifled, I think, because of this ruling.
Given the global nature of social media, is it clear what this could mean for international and non-Australian media organisations in this context?
Well, they could certainly be sued in Australia, in an Australian court. The issue will be enforcement. So if we're thinking about, for example, a US company, let's take the New York Times as an example. If they were to publish something on their Facebook page and there were comments made by Australian members of the public about an Australian, for example, then there might be a possibility that they could be sued in Australia. The issue will be enforcement, and that judgment would not be able to be enforced in the United States because of the First Amendment. So in terms of the US, there isn't such a concern. There might be a concern about other jurisdictions, but I think more broadly, this judgment really highlights the extent to which the law comparatively, if we compare Australia to other similar jurisdictions where defamation is based on the common law, we are really the most draconian when it comes to freedom of speech. We have the jurisdiction where it's probably the easiest to satisfy the cause of action, and it's the jurisdiction where it's the most difficult to satisfy defences for publishers. And this is just another blow, I suppose, when it comes to freedom of speech in this country.
Why do you think this ruling has been made now?
The more important issue is what will happen next. Will we have legislative reform come in to rectify what is clearly now a really unsatisfactory situation. That's really what we need. And there is currently a round of reforms that are occurring when it comes to defamation, and they're looking at internet issues. So hopefully as part of that reform process, we will see some change and we will see a reversal of some sort when it comes to this rule.
Do you think that this ruling could work, or do you think there are better ways to tackle this issue?
Well, the better way to tackle the issue is to say that a social media page owner is only liable for the comments of others where they have notice of them and they are given a reasonable amount of time to remove them. And also they have the capacity technically to remove them as well. So I think that would be a better rule.
Associate Professor at Melbourne Law School, Jason Bosland, speaking with The Wire's Michelle Stevenson.
We would like to provide a content warning before our next segment. We will be discussing eating disorders, body image, and body dysmorphia, so feel free to switch off for the next few minutes if you find any of these themes triggering or unsettling. You can call the Butterfly Foundation on 1-800-333-4673 or Lifeline on 13 11 14.
Sometimes there is a dark side to social media not everyone can see. Here is Mary-Kate with the story.
It's obvious by now that we are living in an increasingly digital world, with social media at the forefront of internet usage. And social media users are getting younger. Data released by the Australian eSafety Commissioner shows that over 70% of teens aged 13 to 17 are using Instagram and Facebook. And although social media can be a positive tool, some of the content on these apps can be damaging for young developing minds. Dr. Jamie Stewart is a senior lecturer of applied psychology at Griffith University. Dr. Stewart specialises in adolescent well-being and identity development in correlation with social and technological change. Dr. Stewart says her research finds the kinds of social media that are more focused on appearance are often used by and targeted to younger age groups.
Sorts of social media that tend to be kind of more focused on appearance and particularly Instagram or like that may be slightly more risky, a little bit more open. But those things tend to be quite targeted towards this age group and used by the age group as well. So there's a confound about prevalence of use within particular age groups and the impacts of social media. So young people tend to be more affected because they tend to use a whole lot more, and also because they're going through a stage of understanding who they are and their identity and their social relationships.
She says social media can often provide a negative feedback loop for young people that may already be struggling.
People are prone to engaging with things that may not be very good for them. And this is even worse for people who have say motivations for use of social media that are already potentially negative. So if there's a propensity for somebody to have some issues with their body image, they'll probably seek out content that is associated with that. Seek out things, seek out people who are beautiful, and you know, because you feel maybe not feel so good about yourself, and therefore get into a really, they can perpetuate those negative cycles.
According to the National Eating Disorders Collaboration, approximately a third of Australian adolescents engage in disordered eating behaviours within any given year. Ellen Cox is a 20-year-old Gold Coast nursing student and is currently in recovery for an eating disorder. Ellen says that at the height of her eating disorder, seeing highly edited, picture-perfect influences across social media only added fuel to the fire.
When I was first diagnosed transitioning into having an eating disorder, I think that was kind of, I associate it with kind of the rise of influencers. I think because that was in 2014 or 2015. So that's when really Instagram really kicked off, like Snapchat started getting bigger. So you would see more influencers and things like that. And obviously back then we weren't as progressive as we were now. So the only influencers you would see would be size 4, skinny, white, long blonde hair, absolute 10 out of 10.
Dr. Stewart says education is key in minimising the negative impact social media is having on our young people.
If people already have some propensities, potential mental health condition, or maybe are vulnerable to to having such a condition or to having things like body dysmorphia, that there are places that are going to make that potentially worse for them. And that needs to be interrupted so that we can reduce the harm that these things cause. We need to educate them about how to use the online environment, how to understand information, critical literacies about the online environment. And that requires not just young people being literate, that requires their parents, the communities, teachers being literate.
This is Mary-Kate Hannigan. Stay safe out there.
Thanks, Mary-Kate. And this is a really interesting topic. So do you feel like you have to monitor who you follow on Instagram for your mental well-being?
I think so. I think it's one of those kind of, it's one of those self-care things. You really have to take care of yourself. And sometimes the content we see on Instagram isn't good for us. And especially when you can see through the editing and you can see that it's just someone's highlight reel. You have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. It's really important to monitor who you follow.
You're listening to The Source News.
That's a wrap for today's show. Thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast on The Source News.